Welcome to the Will and Aaron Show. We talk about local football and basketball, including the Northern Indiana Conference, the Northern Lakes Conference, plus teams in St. Joseph and Elkhart counties. We also discuss some Northern football. Aaron, how you doing this week?
Doing good. I'm excited. Hoosier hysteria is full swing, and the girls' side, of course, and the boys will be starting here soon. How are you doing, Will?
You know, that's a great reason to be excited. I'm doing well, and I'm also excited to obviously see the boys' tournament get going. And we've had a lot of great moments already in the girls. NBA All-Star festivities were this weekend down in Indianapolis. So the Hoosier State shining in basketball this week. Well, Aaron, we got a great host, a guest, I should say, for our topic number one. We're titling this A Life of a Referee with Jimmy Arnett. And we are honored to have a guy that's been around refereeing for 32 years. He has served the SJVAOA in numerous roles, including the board director, vice president, and president. He was the official of the year, I believe in 2013. He has refereed four state finals and numerous sectional, regional, semi-states. Jimmy Arnett is the LeBron James of the referee world. Jimmy, great to have you on our show.
Will and Aaron, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. I'm not sure about all those accolades, Will, especially if I'm not a LeBron James fan, so I don't know how that's going to hit. But thank you guys for inviting me on.
Well, you know what? I did not realize you were not a LeBron James guy, so that's my fault for using reference. But
that's okay. You mentioned 32 years as a referee. So what you were trying to nicely say is I'm an old dude, is what you're trying to say. And so I go back to the MJ days and those Chicago Bulls teams. So that they will always have my affection.
You know what? I 100% agree with you. I'm an MJ guy myself. And you know what? You've had such an impact on local high school basketball. I remember a player at Jimtown, and you would referee my games. And then obviously as a coach throughout, I've been coaching, you know, I think 18 years now, and you've done some of my games as well. So it's been a personal pleasure to see your impact on the game of basketball and to kind of, you know, grow our relationship in a way through the game of basketball. So, I'm very excited. We're going to talk about several items here. Let's start with I want to ask you, what's your current state of basketball from a referee standpoint in Indiana? Like, how is that going?
Well, I think you would have to have your head in the sand if you weren't aware over the last several seasons of all the information that's been put out that we need officials. Not just in basketball, but across all sports for education-based athletics here in the state of Indiana. But there has been a concerted effort over the last 3 years specifically as far as recruiting at every IHSA championship venue for all the sports, and also an official mentoring program that we're starting to see some fruits of that labor and having some newer officials come on board across all the sports. But of course, my passion is basketball. And with my responsibilities with St. Joe Valley Officials Association, I kind of oversee all of the sports, but really basketball, as you know, is where my heart is.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear about the mentoring. Is there I guess the question would be, why would someone want to become a referee, or like, what's the pitch for people who are interested, I should say?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Aaron. And first of all, I would ask back, why wouldn't you want to be a referee? Being able to travel all over the state, visit all these different great venues. We have a lot of them here in our area with, Northside Gym, the Great Western Forum, the Cave in Mishawaka. And I'm going to insult somebody for not mentioning specifically, but we have a lot of great venues. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to be in the middle of a hotly contested game with coaches and excited and fans excited, sometimes a little too much yelling and screaming and whatever else. And I'm being a little hyperbolic here, but you know, really the pitch, if you want to put it that way, Will and Aaron, is the fact that if you have participated in sports, Aaron, I don't know what your background in athletics is. I'm assuming you're a big sports head as well. But if, you know, at some point, unless you're, let's say you are a good enough athlete in whatever sport that you've competed in, you know, grade school, through high school, even in college, but you still want to stay involved with the sport, there's no better way to give back to the sport and be involved than being a part of the game. Not front and center, but being an important part of the game as far as being an official. I have just found it to be a very fulfilling aspect of my life as far as interest and avocations go, as far as officiating.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like the idea of giving back to the sports that you take part in. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I guess if someone's listening that's wondering what's the first step I need to take to become a referee, what advice or steps would you give them?
Well, there's several avenues and I would encourage anybody who might be listening to you two great gentlemen tonight, interested in officiating, you can always go to IHSAA.org. And click on the officials tab. That'll pop up pretty prominently, and it'll give you some steps. And expressing interest through the IHSA website, then they in turn reach out to somebody in the 24 associations across the state. We have 24 officials associations across the state, all connected, all endeavoring to try to grow, you know, our officials a population. So you can do that, or you could. I'm very happy to help anybody. You can reach out to me. I'm on X or Twitter or whatever it's being called today. My handle is at Carmel Thunder, and you can find me there. I'm happy to give my phone number, email address, whatever. But the point is, there's a number of avenues where somebody who might be interested in at least exploring what officiating their interest might be. There's a number of those areas that you can reach out and contact us. And what we have established here in our St. Joe Valley Officials Association, I mentioned the recruiting and then the mentoring program. We actually have a mentor chair person for our association, and he facilitates and funnels all of those interests that come in. Say, Aaron, you were interested in becoming a basketball official and a baseball umpire. Well, that mentor chair gets your information, which it's simple. A name, phone number, and email address in the sport that you're interested or sports you're interested in. And then he funnels that information across our association to the chairs of those sports or vice presidents of those sports. And then they reach out and make that contact and try to gauge the real level of interest for that individual. We also are trying to, I guess, support newer officials. Once they go through the registration process, we will actually help offset the cost of their first year of license. The association and the IHSA is basically, it's almost like an official scholarship. You want to become an official, you go through all the steps, put the effort in, we're going to cover your costs for the first year.
Wow. So I want to talk about your journey. We already stated that you've been an official for over three decades now, 32 years.
Wow, that's a long time. I'm old.
You know, I tell you what, I've been told that life goes quick. So
yes, it does.
Can you kind of summarize, if you will, your journey from the beginning and sure. kind of walk us through that? What's that been like for you as a referee?
Well, it is interesting. You mentioned 32 years. Thinking back, going back that far, I attended a parochial school, a local church school, and I graduated from a Christian boarding academy. So we didn't have what I would say organized, interscholastic sports, but we had intramurals and all of those things. And I fell in love with basketball about my fifth grade year, had a principal at our school who was also just a sports nut, and he organized a team, and we would go and play other schools in the area. But anyhow, I just loved basketball, and I started playing, and getting out of high school, I played in a lot of local leagues, whether they were South Bend or Mishawaka City leagues. There was a traveling church league, believe it or not, over five states that we traveled for many years. That's actually still in existence. So I've been involved with basketball, and I was okay. I'll say I was okay. I mean, you can only be so good when you're 6 foot and trying to play the four spot, you know. But really, what sparked, I guess, my response to officiating was we were playing a league game one night, and a couple of my really good friends were officiating the game. And I was the coach and player, and I was known to be a little more vocal than probably I should have been. But since they were friends, they tolerated a lot from me. And finally, one night, one of them stopped in the course of the game and said, "Jimmy, if you think we're not doing a good job, you should get your license and get out here and learn how to do this and see what it's like." And I took that to heart. And that's really where that started, in a church league, you know, tournament environment, and where I was challenged to become a part of the officiating family. And it just kind of started from there. I got my license. I started, I had two or three guys that helped me along, started doing, you know, elementary, middle school games, did some rec league games and church league games, which, you know, they all have their advantages and disadvantages. But what I'm saying is I just kind of worked my way through the different levels of play, and eventually was given the opportunity to work some JV games. I actually worked JV for about 5-6 years. And I think it was after my sixth year, I got my first varsity assignment, was really excited. And so, yes, I've been licensed for 32 or 33, whatever it has been. But again, not all of that was varsity. All of that, a lot of that, those first 6-7 years was really learning the craft and learning rules and mechanics. And more importantly, you know, kind of honing people's skills as far as an official goes. So that's probably a longer answer than you wanted, Will and Aaron. But that's really where it started from, was being challenged as a player to get involved as an official.
Wow. Now, we did read your bio. You're from Cicero, Indiana. That's correct.
Well, I was born in Elkhart. Moved in South Bend since the age of four.
Okay.
And the boarding, I went to our church school here in South Bend through the 10th grade. I actually went to Riley High School for my junior's year, and then was given the opportunity to go to Indiana Academy, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian boarding school down in Cicero, Indiana, where I finished up my high school education.
Gotcha. You know, I know that if you, let's see, 4 years ago, I actually contemplated, I looked into like being a referee, so I bought the whole manual that they give you. Now, back when you were trying to get your license, what was that process like? Did they give you a little booklet and then you had to study and pass a test and
absolutely
get certified?
Yeah. And so first of all, I'll hit the stop button for a second and say, Will, it's not too late to get your license. Come join us. Really, it is a simple process of, again, registering for, you get to when you register for the same cost of your first license. Back then, you can register for up to three sports. So let's say I was just interested in basketball, so registered for basketball, and the IHSAA would send you an official's manual, a basketball rules book, and a basketball case book. Those are the three primary books that we learn and that we study. Of course, they're updated every couple of years, but you have to pass what's called the Part One test of any sport. Speaking specifically right now because of my familiarity with basketball, you have to pass the test with a 75%, which I don't think is unreasonable. And the best part of it, guys, it's an open book test. I mean, they send you the books and you just go online and you complete the test. Now, again, 30 plus years ago, when I had to take my test, you literally had to go to I completed my test at the Newman Recreation Center. For those of you who may be old enough to remember that facility, rec center down by the river. And you sat down and had your open book and you did your testing, et cetera. So now it's all online, of course. But you have to pass with a 75%, and you do that, you're in for life.
Well, thank God it's open book, because I know if I took it without open book, I'd have to take it like three times probably.
most of us would, Will. So you wouldn't be you wouldn't be by yourself in that case. Yeah, but it obviously takes some effort and some commitment just getting started. But again, the levels of support that we have added for newer officials should help in that process a great deal.
Can you talk about some of the lessons you've learned about life and other things as your decorated officiating career?
I would say I'm still learning. After 30 plus years, there's still life lessons, and I say that because everybody is human. That's one of the lessons that I've learned. And I don't know what your story is, Aaron, or your story is, Will, as far as what you may have gone through or may be going through. And for, let's say, our worlds to meet and maybe even collide in the course of a basketball game, I don't know what you may have gone through that day, or you don't know what I may have been going through that day. So one of the lessons I've learned is, it really is just about people. And Will, you mentioned at the start of the pod, about relationships. That's probably the biggest thing that I have learned and that I have tried to improve my communication. I think anything that we do, and especially as we're talking about sports officiating, it really is about how we treat each other as officials, as coaches, as administrators, and as athletes. It really is. How simple is it? The golden rule, treat somebody the way you want to be treated. But that has probably been the biggest lesson that I've learned as far as relationships and people go.
Yeah, that's great. We kind of wanted to ask, what are some of the, are you some of your favorite coaches to officiate their games?
See, now you're going to get me in trouble, because over the course of 25, 30 years, there's been too many to call out without, ticking somebody off. I will just say that I've been blessed to be able to work with some of the best coaches here in Indiana, and I mentioned to you all earlier my bio. I've been licensed in Michigan for 25 years as well. I mean, we're that close to the border. But anyhow, I will tell you, one of my He is now retired, but you might remember Mark Johnson.
Yep.
That was at, you know, LaSalle, then Riley for a long time, and then he ended his career at St. Joe. Mark was fiery. He always had something new and unique that I hadn't heard from a coach before, but it was always done with a great deal of enthusiasm and even, I'll even say even respect, but I love looking forward to working games for him. Marilyn Coddins, again, a well-respected coach from Washington High School. Thinking those that aren't working anymore, but just think about all the coaches that have come through our, you know, through Michiana over the last 25 years, have at one point given me a great deal of opportunity to work one of their games or many of their games. But yeah, I should have been more prepared to come with a complete list, but there's just way too many of them. I mean, Al Rhodes, who just recently retired, a Hall of Fame coach. And there are a lot of coaches currently in, you know, that are, you know, working their craft right now that I enjoy being able to go to and look forward to working a game for them.
Yeah, well said. You know, your answer is so politically correct. You know, you're such a well-seasoned veteran. You didn't fall for that, so well done there. I will say this, as a basketball coach myself, it is such a relief when you see the names that who's going to do your game, and it's like, oh, thank goodness. Because, you know, when you get a good referee, and I don't think people realize this, when you get a good referee, it just makes it so much better for everybody that's involved in the game. The fans, the players, the coaches, administration, you know, everybody. And, you know, a referee's job is so important. You know, we want to finish our last topic here with you and ask you about some of your favorite moments throughout the last couple of decades here. I know you've had a lot of them, so that's probably a tough question to just narrow to a few. But what are some of your favorite moments?
You know, I think some of my favorite moments have been connected to, I'm going to go back to relationships, Will and Aaron, and relationships that have gone beyond the basketball, you know, basketball floor. But some of my favorite moments have been watching a young man or a young woman play at the collegiate level, and my wife, I probably drive her crazy when I kind of I'm controlling the remote control and I'm watching a, you know, men or women's basketball game, and I'll say, oh, look, there's so and so, I officiated his games or her games. There's, and when I stop and think of some of these kids that were in grade school, went through the ICCL program and went through the various high schools in the area, and seeing them succeed and play at the highest level as far as collegiate sports goes. And, you know, there's a few that, you know, we know of that have gone on to a professional career. Those are probably some of my most favorite moments just as an official. And of course, the first opportunity that I had to work my very first sectional, whether boys or girls, they were a couple years apart. And I worked my first girls state finals in 2013. And it took me a while to get to the boys state finals, but I finally worked my first boys finals in 2021, the year after basketball was kind of put on hold with COVID. And that's just the personal stuff. I don't officiate for, you know, any kind of accolades or for money. Heaven knows it's not for the money. But it really is about being involved in the sport, and being able to develop relationships that last long after a game is over. I will tell you that several years ago, when I was given the honor of being the official of the year for girls basketball, one of my favorite moments wasn't necessarily that, but in, I think it was at halftime of the Washington high school, the girls state championship final that year. At halftime, they recognized me, but my favorite moment was I had my wife, my daughter, and two granddaughters with me on the court there, down there at Gainbridge. And that was a special moment for me.
Wow. Wow. I tell you what, people that know basketball, if you're in a basketball family, whether as a player, a coach, referee, administrator, we all know the great work you've done over the last few, three decades or so. And you know, you continue to do great work. I love the fact that you keep talking about relationships and the positive impact you've had on many people within the basketball family. That's just really awesome. And we want to thank you for coming.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I also want to mention too, you know, as far as becoming an official, you know, I wasn't going to leave without another plug for you know, having folks that are interested, that love sports, or just you need something to do, but you want to be involved, consider becoming an official. And I'll tell you another benefit of all of that, that hard work and commitment. I'm going back to relationships, but some of my best friends at this point in time have, that relationship began when we started connecting as officials. And so you talk about the basketball family. As an official, regardless of what sport that you're in, it's also a family. And I would love to see this family circle grow.
Well said. Well, thank you for hopping on the Will and Aaron Show. Hopefully you come back and another time to discuss more stuff. And I know you're a Cubs Bears fan, at least, right?
When you say at least, yes. I'm okay. I'm in an abusive relationship with my favorite football team, the Chicago Bears. Yes, sir. And I'd love to come back and chop it up about the Bears or my Cubbies, or maybe even after or somewhere towards the end of boys basketball. And, you know, the drawings were today. So I'm sure you guys are going to discuss sectionals and the pairings here, whether later on tonight or in the next few weeks. It's going to be an exciting time here with Hoosier Hysteria.
Hey, real quick, before we let you go here,
yes.
As a Bears fan, you hang on to Justin Fields or do you draft a quarterback?
So you're asking me here on a Sunday evening. Yesterday, my answer may have been different. I vacillate back and forth. I can't decide what's best. What I am convinced of is that regardless of what the Bears do, it's probably going to be the wrong thing.
All right. You know what? Well said. Well said. Well, hey, thanks again for hopping on.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Blessings to you. Be safe and look forward to connecting with you down the road.
Well, folks, that's Jimmy Arnett, local hoops referee, longtime referee in our area. Aaron, always great to hear from Jimmy. He's a great guy.
Yeah, you know, I've heard of the name, but it was cool to get to know a little bit more about his story. Yeah, he was a real treat to have on. And
so, Aaron, let's move on to topic number two, and that's conference races for boys basketball. And Northern Indiana Conference, we've got three contenders as of this recording. That's Riley at 10-1 in conference play, Marion 8-1, and Penn 9-2. And, you know, Riley, they're done. No more conference games remaining. Marion has to play Elkhart and Adams this week. And if Marion wins out, they will be co-champs with Riley despite having a worse conference loss win loss record percentage.
Yeah, and if Marion is able to do that, they would finish the regular season on a 12-game win streak, which is pretty impressive. I know we talked earlier in the year about how Marion would be a team that might start a little slow, and man, have they really proven that they're one of those teams to watch out for.
Absolutely. Yeah, as well said. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
So, Northern Lakes Conference, that conference is complete. Due to the fact that Wawasee upset Mishawaka, there's a three-way tie for the NLC conference between Mishawaka, Concord, Northridge, all finishing at 5-2. You know, Aaron, at the beginning of the season, if you would say that there was a three-way tie between these three schools, I don't know how many people would raise their hand to that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe someone might have said a co-champs, like two, but yeah, I think this was a little surprising to me, but it just shows you how balanced this conference is this year. And, you know, Mishawaka went into Wawasee, and Wawasee, they upset Warsaw, and now Mishawaka, and they're a pesky team. They shot the ball extremely well in that game. So, yeah, all these NLC teams are pretty dangerous. Obviously, we know the top four or five are going to have a lot of say in their sectionals. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. When you say top four and five, I'm assuming you're including Northwood and Wawasee in that discussion there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Northeast Corner Conference, the contenders, Fairfield, Lakeland, both 8-1. Westview is 7-2. Fairfield, they control their destiny here, and they just need to beat Central Noble. Lakeland will host Angola this week, and Westview goes on the road to face Fremont, where the Warriors will be favorites to beat the Eagles. I think Fairfield probably has the toughest path to being conference champs. Aaron, what do you say?
Yeah, I would agree with you if you go based on records and all that. Yeah, it should be interesting to see, can Fairfield hang on here and at least get that share?
Well, let's move on to the Hoosier North, where there's only two teams contending for that conference. That's Triton. They're 5-0. LaVille is 5-1. Triton has Culver and Knotts remaining. The Trojans should win both of those games. LaVille will be favored when they play Knotts. You know, it's looking pretty good for the Trojans to win the Hoosier North.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
and our last conference, the Hoosier Plains, Bethany Christian won the conference. They went 5-0 in that Hoosier Plains there. So a magical season for the Bruins boys basketball.
Yeah, and, you know, Trinity Greenlawn gave them everything they wanted on Friday night. Bethany did enough to win by two. Yeah, they kind of set the standard in this conference, and, you know, ECA might have something to say in the sectional as they went to overtime in their regular season game. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Speaking of sectional, that is our topic number three, sectional contenders. Let's look at the Class 4A. And, of course, Aaron, I think you already mentioned this. Jimmy Arnett did that today. Boys sectional pairings came out. And in sectional four here, hosted at Elkhart, we have Concord, Warsaw, Northridge, and Penn as sectional contenders. I think any one of those four can come out on top. Of course, Warsaw, Elkhart, both through the bye. Warsaw will await the winner of Concord and Goshen, and Elkhart will await the winner of Penn and Northridge. Aaron, who do you think wins the sectional four at Elkhart? I'm putting you on the spot here.
You know, I think I have to dig in a little bit, go back and look at some of the past contests. But, you know, I agree with you. The four that have kind of the biggest piece of the pie or chance to win the sectional four, But I think sometimes as years pass, we can kind of throw the records out and we'll just, it's all about matchups, I think, you know. And Northridge and Penn drew each other, which is brutal for both those schools. So it's going to be another fascinating few nights of basketball at Northside Gym.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fair. Next week, we'll talk more about maybe make predictions for the sectionals here. You know, sectional three hosted at the Cave at Mishawaka. Really, two contenders there between Riley and Mishawaka. I'm going to give LaPorte a long shot at winning that sectional. I don't see that happening, but definitely Riley, Mishawaka. Mishawaka, obviously, co-champs of the NLC. Riley in a driver's seat to win the NIC conference.
Yeah, I think my first reaction would agree with you, Will. Yeah, another interesting sectional for sure.
Yeah, and I want to mention Adams and Riley both drew the byes there, so I'm sure they're happy about that. And Adams will await the winner of LaPorte and Mishawaka. So you know, that second round game is going to be really tremendous between probably Mishawaka Adams, and they recently just played where it was, I think, 52-50, where that very highly contested game. And I would anticipate if they were matched up in the second round to be another great close game. And then Michigan City Plymouth play in the first round, and Riley awaits the winner of that game. And of course, I believe Riley and Michigan City already have played with Riley. That was another close game that was at Michigan City. So that second round game, both games in the sectional three are going to be tremendous. Let's move on to Class 3A and talk about Sectional 18 here. And that is going to be hosted by Tippecanoe Valley. And I have Tippecanoe Valley as the heavy favorite. I don't think anybody can contend. A long, long shot would be Glenn and Bremen. I just don't see that happening, though. Aaron, what do you say?
Yeah, I think looking at it on paper right now, I would agree with you. Yeah, Glenn and Bremen have kind of the puncher's chance, if you will, to upset Tippy Valley.
And I better not forget, but Culver Academy, never count them out either. So, you know, that bottom half of the bracket is interesting. I think all three of those programs are relatively similar to each other in regards to where they are this season, with probably Glenn and Culver Academy a step ahead of Bremen. But Bremen, they've been playing well late. So, but Sectional 18, probably going to be a heavy favorite for the hosts there. Let's talk about Sectional 19, also in Class 3A, hosted by Washington. This will be played at the Great Western Forum. And I've got Mary and St. Joe as the contenders. A long shot, Jimtown, if Frey is healthy and 100% ready to go, I think Jimtown will be a tricky team to navigate if you're either Marion or St. Joe. But looking at how the sectional draw came out to be, Washington and Marion have to play each other in game one. And it was not very pretty when they played in the regular season, Aaron. And New Prairie Jimtown, that if you're Coach Layton and the Jimmies, you have to like that draw. But, you know, don't count out the Cougars because, you know, I know it's been a long season, but they're getting better and better. And then Clay awaits the winner of Jimtown New Prairie. So that bottom half of the draw, you got to like that draw to the Jimtown Jimmies.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, St. Joe will await the winner of Marion and Washington. Might we see Holy War, the second act? And we already know how great of a game that was on Channel 46. So we're hoping maybe that will be another great sequel, although Coach Varga and the Panthers might have something to say about that. Let's move on to Sectional 20, hosted by Lakeland. I've got the Northwood Panthers as a pretty strong favorite there. And I'm going to give three teams a long shot with winning that sectional. That's Fairfield, Wabasca, and Lakeland.
Yeah, I think, you know, Northwood getting the bye is pretty good deal for them. Wabasca, Lakeland's an interesting first game. And Fairfield, West Noble, I think Fairfield's probably the favorite there, like you mentioned. Yeah, it feels like Northwood's sectional again this year, but I wouldn't count on anything. This feels a little bit closer than maybe in years past.
Yeah, I agree with you. And what a great draw for Coach Hennen and the Falcons. I mean,
yeah.
One game you're in the sectional championship. Northwood, Coach Wolf, they got to love that bye there. And Wabasca just knocked off Mishawaka, the co-champs of NLC. And they have to face a pretty solid Lakeland team. That first opening game in sectional ought to be a dandy. And then I think Northwood is going to have to really earn that second round game. Fairfield and Northwood have already played each other, so if that does happen to be the game, the title game, you know that the Fairfield will be licking their chops to get revenge on Northwood. Let's move to Class 2A, Sectional 34, and that's going to be hosted at North Judson. And we have Hebron as the heavy favorite with the outside chance of LaVille with a potential upset there. So Hebron, they have won a lot of games this season. I think they've only lost one game. LaVille, you know, they're coached by Edison, and they just play the game the right way. So, you know that they're always going to play tough, but it's going to take a whole lot to take out Hebron there. All right, let's move on to Class 1A, Sectional 51. This will be hosted by Bethany Christian. We've got two favorites here, and that is Bethany Christian and Elkhart Christian. I believe this will be the rubber match, as they've already played twice. And I think they split the season series, if I'm not mistaken. So this will be a fascinating game between these two Christian schools. And both of them have star players. So it should be a great contest here between Bethany Christian, Elkhart Christian for Sectional 51. And they happen to play in the opening game of that sectional. So kind of bummed out that the draw was the way it is. I was hoping that they'd be an opposite size of bracket, but you know, it is what it is. We're going to see them right away.
Yeah, I think, it's another reason to question draws, but hey, you got to be able to beat anyone at any time. So yeah, it's unfortunate for sure, but might as well get it out of the way.
yep. Well said. Well, Aaron, let's move on to topic number 4, power rankings. At number 10, Fairfield. 9th is Northwood. 8th is Warsaw. 7th is Mishawaka. Concord is 6th. Northridge is 5th. 4th place is St. Joe. 3rd is Marion. Penn is 2nd, and Riley at 1st. And I know what a lot of people are going to say, wow, look at 1 through 4, all NIC. But, Aaron, I'm going to say this. If you look at the strength of schedule and how many games they've played in the top 64, there's a reason why all 4 of those squads are ranked higher than some of those top of the NLC schools like Northridge, Concord, Mishawaka, Warsaw, and Northwood.
Yeah, that's interesting because from what I'm seeing, it looks like, I guess, maybe the NLC teams have beaten up on some of the tier under those NIC teams. But yeah, I think it just shows you the parity of our two counties in basketball and, yeah, the teams around us.
Yeah. So the top of the NIC, you were getting close to that. The top of the NIC is, I think, a little bit better than the top of the NLC this year. But the middle of the pack and the conference as a whole, the NLC, is still a better conference than the NIC. It's just it's unfortunate for the NIC that they've got several teams at the bottom that really tank the conference. So, yeah, as you mentioned, you alluded to, the NLC does have a 25-12 advantage against the NIC this year. But if you were to take the records of the top four of the NIC, they fare well. Let's just say that they fare pretty well versus the NLC conference. So I think a lot of those wins from the like Northridge, Concord, Mishawaka, Warsaw, Northwood, are some of those wins are from the middle to lower tier of the NIC, where I think there's a pretty good drop off from the top tier of the NIC conference there. In fact, Aaron, there's only one. When I was doing the research here, there's only one team in either conference that doesn't even play an interconference game. So Wallasey is the only school that does not play a school from the NIC, whereas everybody from the NIC has a crossover game with the NLC, and everybody in NLC plays an NIC school except for Wallasey. And interesting, Plymouth is the only NLC school that has a losing record to the NIC. So that also says something there.
Yeah, because they're not, I mean, there's kind of a rebuild, but they have some little bit of talent.
Yeah, they sure do. Well, let's move on to our final topic, and that is the Will and Aaron weekly picks. Aaron, you did all right last week. In fact, I think we both had the same record, if I recall.
Yeah.
And so let's do the picks for this week. First game is Fairfield at Northridge. Aaron, who do you got?
I got Northridge. I think this will be an interesting battle. I think Fairfield can pose some challenges to Northridge, but I feel like Northridge is, they're kind of finding, they're just playing really well right now, and they're finding ways to win in different ways. I like what Brady Scholl has been doing. I think he's a huge impact player. I think he put up 30-plus points in two consecutive games a couple weeks ago, and then against, I think it was Plymouth and Wallasey. It'll be interesting to see what Fairfield can do defensively. I think they have a pretty solid defense, so I'm going to be looking forward to watching this game.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to also go with Northridge. Both teams are pretty hot right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, Northridge, they're just more battle-tested. And I think that has to mean something at this point in the season. Their strength of schedule is better. They've been tested more. They've won several of those games. They've been tested. So I'm going to go with Northridge, Coach Radiker. Nothing against the Fearful Falcons and Coach Hennon and company. They have a wonderful squad, but I think Northridge will be victorious in this game. Penn at Mishawaka, the backyard brawl on the basketball court. Aaron, big-time rivalry. Who do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think last week we picked the same games or the same winners, and I got to somehow find a way to close the door, so I'm gonna write this one in pencil. I kind of went back and forth. I'm gonna take the cavemen, maybe some home cooking, a little bit of a wake up call against Wallasey. I think they didn't play their best game in that one. Give credit to Wallasey because they came out and you could tell they wanted it. They were looser. So I'd like to see Mishawaka win in a really close game at home, but I think Penn fully capable of winning this game too.
I tell you what, I don't have inside information, but if Dominic Bonner is still out, I like your pick. However, I think he's going to be back, and if he's back, then I like Penn to win. So I'm gonna put Penn to beat Mishawaka on the road. I think that Penn's recent loss, and Aaron, I can't remember who it was to, but they really responded by stomping Plymouth They looked much better since that recent loss. And I think that was kind of a wake-up call for the Kingsmen here. And they beat an Elkhart team. The final score, 55-49, may not impress anybody, but you know, Elkhart's been playing better second half of the season. The Washington game, yeah. Aaron. That was a big surprise. Of course, Dominic wasn't playing then, but I'm going to go Penn. I think that I think they get the job done, but I'm a little nervous on that pick. I think maybe this might be a game that you catch up, Aaron, and make this a closer battle towards the end of the season with our record. Warsaw at Tippecanoe Valley, two programs that historically are known for winning a lot of games. Aaron, who do you got?
Yeah, we've been praising Tippy Valley earlier in the episode, but I think Warsaw gets a job done. I think they may have a little bit more, kind of what you mentioned earlier. They have been tested, as you would say. I like the Tigers to overcome the Vikings.
Yeah, you know what? Tippecanoe Valley is great for their conference and where they are and who they play. But this is a different level. And when you start talking about competing with the likes of Warsaw and Coach Moore, and having to defend Luke Breaker, who's an outstanding three-point shooter, and Robbie Finlayson, who's an improved shooter, and the big guy inside, Jaeger, and Carson Gold, who's a lockdown defender, not to mention Coach Moore, who's one of the better coaches in the area. I'm also going to pick Warsaw. I think they win, and I don't think it's going to be close, Aaron. I think they win by at least 10 or more. Concord at Westview, always intriguing place to play at Westview. I know you've been in that, being a Northridge Raider. I know you've been in this inside that gym. Intriguing environment, especially when it's full. Aaron, who do you got?
Yeah, this was another one where I was kind of going back and forth. But I think Concord, I think they're experienced enough to handle that test of playing at Westview. I think their defense is always keeps them in games, and I think that'll be in this one as well. And I think they have some firepower with Braden Messenger, and maybe get some key baskets from some other guys. So I like Concord in a close one.
You know what? That's a great choice, Aaron. I'm full agreement with you. You mentioned Messenger; he's been outstanding the whole season. And Lucas Pro, he's been shooting the ball better recently. And of course, you got your role players like Parker McEwen, who does the dirty work inside with screening and rebounding and all the things that you need to be a good team. Of course, you got to mention Coach DeShone. He has done a tremendous job there building that program up. This might be a special year for the Minutemen. Who knows? But I think they win this game at Westview. A tricky game, non-conference game. Westview, obviously a basketball school there. It's going to be a big crowd. This is a seasoned team that's not going to be shook. I think that they will handle things in a mature way, and they'll just get the job done. So Concord over Westview. Let's move on to St. Joe at Mishawaka. Aaron, who are you picking, St. Joe or Mishawaka?
Yeah, this is another tough game to pick. I think St. Joe kind of coming into themselves a little bit, the way they've looked the past few weeks. I like St. Joe on the road.
Yep, I'm going to agree with you. I think Coach Gav is kind of getting his guys to play a little bit better. They've improved over the season. Of course, you got to mention Chase Kinesi. He's Mr. Do-It-All for them. He's going to get a high volume of shots. And then Jace Lee, you know, he's a very, you know, athletic guard who can, you know, dunk the ball and get in passing lanes and be, a disruption guy. Of course, they got Shrewsbury, who's been a nice addition to the team this year, and role players like Elijah King and so on, and Brayshon Woods as well. So, you know, this is a team that's, to me, it's a question mark, to be honest, because, you know, they've looked good at times this year. There's times that I think they might have struggled earlier in the season, and that's part probably due to the fact that they had some new pieces with King joining them and Shrewsbury, and they had to learn to build that chemistry. So maybe it took some time. They also have played a pretty difficult schedule as well. So can they put it all together at the end here and make it run like they did a few years ago? Who knows? I don't know. But I'm going to pick St. Joe over Mishawaka in this game. Maryville at Penn. The Dunlin Conference is coming to the Penn Palace. Coach Patton does a great job at Maryville. Aaron, who do you got?
I like Penn at home. I think it's tough to pick against Penn more than once. So, and Penn, if Bonner's healthy, I think that adds something to their team, of course. And yeah, this will be a big task, but I like Penn at home.
Yeah, I like your pick as well. Coach Kuhlman, this is winning time for him.
Yeah.
This part of the season. He's a veteran coach. He's a proven winner in, you know, those late February games and early March games. You know, I think, you know, their team had to learn how to play together with a new coach and some new pieces. And I think they've done better than a lot of people would give them credit for, just to be honest. That Hawthorne kid can really shoot the three ball. And with some things going on with injuries, whatnot, I think Ethan Good is a guard that just solid, you know, role player. He's not going to go off and get you 20, but he's a very good role player. And then, like you mentioned, Dominic Bonner, if he can come back and from his injury, I'm not sure if he's back or not, but that's a huge plus if he is. Trey Miller has been a go-to guy. He's been very consistent for the Kingsmen this season with scoring-wise. And you can also say the same thing for Maverick Brown as well. And role players like Nolan McCullough, the former Penn quarterback, he's been a tremendous asset to the Kingsmen. So this is an intriguing team to see what they do down the stretch. But I'd like them to beat Maryville. This will not be an easy game because Maryville, you know, every year they're athletic. They'll get after you. Coach Patton is a good coach. You know, they've won 14 games so far. So that's got to say something. They got a tough schedule as well. So should be a good game, but I like Penn at home to win this. Fairfield at Central Noble, our last game to pick for this week. Aaron, who do you got?
I'm gonna go with the Falcons. I think they're motivated. I think they're hungry to get that conference title, so they're gonna need this game. How about you?
I tell you what, I like your pick as well. You know, this is a huge week for the NECC as the top four teams all play each other this week. So, you know, when you look at Westview, you look at Fairfield, you know, this is going to be a kind of who's going to stay at top kind of ordeal. And Noah Mass, he's been a huge reason why Fairfield is even in this place to begin with. The 6'6", you know, rebounder, scorer, kind of leader of this team, if you will. Alex Hoffer, you got to mention him. He's, of course, you remember him on the football field. He did a lot of great things for them. But he's been a nice role player for them. Tyson Frey, probably their number two guy in regards to impact player. He's been very, very solid for them this year. And how about the work that Coach Hennon has done for the Fairfield Falcons in his young tenure career there? He's really brought a lot of excitement back to Fairfield basketball. I happen to be at a couple of their games at Fairfield, and the environment, it kind of feels like it's back, you know, and like the good old days. So I'm going to pick Fairfield to win this game at Central Noble. I know the Cougars, they've had some good seasons of their own in recent years. This will be no easy task by any means of the imagination. But I like Fairfield. I think they're on a roll. They get a job done on the road to capture the NECC conference there. Well, Aaron, it's been a pleasure. It's been a great episode as well. A lot happened this past week in local hoops. And, of course, it was a pleasure to talk referee with the great Jimmy Arnett.
Yeah, definitely. And enjoyable as always. And looking forward to talking more hoops next time.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Will and Aaron Show. If you are enjoying our podcast, we would love for you to rate and share our podcast. Leave a review. It will help us out. You can follow us on X at Will Aaron Show, on Instagram at The Will and Aaron Show, and you can like and follow The Will and Aaron Show Facebook page. Now, thanks to you, we now have listeners from 9 different countries, 33 states across America, and 165 U.S. cities. Tune in next time as we discuss more local high school sports and Notre Dame football.